going on, guys? Welcome to a brand new episode of Tariq Radio. We're early. It's early. We're doing an early show, getting it out the way. I was supposed to do it yesterday, but I'm here now. We're early. I know some of y'all are at work right now listening live on your lunch break. Keep the volume down so you don't get fired from Popeye's chicken. I know some of y'all got to go back to making them sandwiches in a minute, but yo, we're here on today's show. We're going to chop up some very good game. But what we're going to do, let's take that quick commercial break. Y'all let everybody know that we're live right now. We'll be right back right here on Tariq Radio.
Yo, you still ain't getting women? Really? Come on, son. You need to go to badboymembership.com and step up your game. What's up, y'all? It's your boy, Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. And I'm telling you that if you really want to attract beautiful women, you need to go to badboymembership.com. This is where you get 45 through 90 minute step-by-step dating advice tutorials every month. Just sign up, follow the advice, and you'll get the woman you want. Go to badboymembership.com. That's badboymembership.com.
Have you ever wondered why some people who are not as qualified as you, not as smart as you, or as talented as you can achieve so much phenomenal success out here in the world? If you want to learn the secrets and be ready for change in 2020, order the book How to Be Successful with or Without a College Degree by author Derek Collins. In this book, he's going to give you straight to the point, no-nonsense principles that will help you take your life to the next level. So go to successclass.org and purchase the book today. Remember, that's successclass.org. Check out the Hurricane Report. That's a news website dedicated to lovingly serving the Black American community. Go to the website at h-report.news. Subscribe to them and follow them on Instagram at h_reeepoort and at Twitter at thehreport2, and you share the articles. You can purchase merchandise, donate, do a lot of stuff. So again, go to h-report.news. Are you tired of worrying about money? You need to check out the new book called The Anatomy of Financial Success, The Key to Building Financial Confidence and Destroying Financial Insecurity. This book teaches you how to build and increase the income streams you desire. It teaches you how to budget your money in a way that you will always move forward financially. And it will teach you how to effectively evaluate a financial opportunity within minutes to see if it is right for you. So don't hesitate. Get your copy at realmoneysuccess.com. That's realmoneysuccess.com. Shop at oxywellness.com to experience the natural benefits of what CBD can do for your health and well-being. This CBD brand called Oxygen has a THC-free friendly product line that addresses ailments like pain, inflammation, stress, and much, much more. You can also get on the distribution side by getting involved in launching your own CBD franchise today through the Oxygen brand. Follow them on Instagram at Oxy Wellness to stay updated, and also go to OxyWellness.com. That's OxyWellness.com. Listen up, family. Black empowerment needs a uniform, and On Code Clothing is it. The On Code brand is exclusive, and it's not intended for general consumption, you dig? You got to be codified to appreciate this thing of ours. So don't hesitate. Go check out the latest gear for the season and get fly right from your phone. Be sure to follow On Code Clothing on social media for the latest deals. You can also subscribe to their website and get access to instant savings. So go on code and stay on code at oncodeclothing.com. Check out the website Free Game Alert by business coach Dave Anderson, a.k.a. Taz Daddy. You've seen Taz Daddy on tour with me. He's been on the road with me. He's been on The Breakfast Club, Forbes, Black Enterprise, CNN, spitting game on business and entrepreneurship for our people. Go to freegamealert.com so my man Dave can break the game down to you and help you grow your business. Working with Dave and his team, it's not cheap, so you better take advantage right now. If you are ready to invest in yourself, you can apply for a spot on his team at freegamealert.com. Follow my dude Dave on Instagram at TheBusinessBully, and again, check out freegamealert.com. Check out the book Surviving the War and College Roommates by author Lawrence Robinson. This book is guaranteed to pique your interest as it covers an ADOS veteran's transition from the military and war back to civilian and college life. It's a very easy read, and it's a comical book that you'll learn a lot of game from, and you'll learn how to maneuver through life and keep your game tight in this book. That's Surviving the War and College Roommates by author Lawrence Robinson, available on paperback on Amazon Kindle, and BarnesandNoble.com online.
The year is 2079. The futuristic nation of New Albion has been created to maintain a new racial apartheid system. There is a planned genocide that is going to target the nation's black population. A small group of black revolutionaries band together to launch guerrilla warfare attacks against their oppressors. Do they fail, or do they succeed? Find out the answer by reading the book Avoid the Machines, the new novel by author Scotty Vasco. Avoid the Machines, now available on Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com.
You are now tuning into the legendary Tariq Nasheed.
I gave him the blood on that bridge in Selma.
On Tariq Radio.
I say, whoever threw that paper, your mom's a hoe.
What's going on, guys? We're back. Glad to have everybody tuning back in right here on Tariq Radio. I'm your host, Mr. Tariq Nasheed. Glad to have everybody tuning in, ladies and gentlemen. We are live broadcasting in L.A., beautiful day out here. LA weather is funny. It was cold as hell this morning. Now it's hot than a motherfucker. So you don't know whether to have on some Ugg boots or flip-flops if you come outside in this bitch. The weather is tricky. If you're looking at us live on YouTube, I'm going to need everybody to hit that thumbs up button right now. Hit that like button right now, family. Hit that thumbs up button. And then I need you to hit that subscribe button. Let's get that out the way now. Thumbs up, then subscribe, and then hit that bell, ladies and gentlemen. Also, all the people who follow me on, or who's on Instagram, I know they have a shadow ban of me, so y'all need to follow me and try to find me at Tariq Elite on Instagram. You can add me by, I guess you can go to your browser on your laptop and you can add me from there, because they got that punk ass shadow ban where they don't want nobody to find me. They don't have a real reason to ban me, but they're threatened by my influence, so they have a little shadow ban. So my Instagram is Tariq Elite, T-A-R-I-Q-E-L-I-T-E. Y'all follow that on Instagram. I have to promote that now because people can't find me when they look at the search box on Instagram. So anyway, a lot of stuff we're going to talk about on today's broadcast. As you guys know, first of all, let me thank everybody who has contributed to the Foundational Black American Conference that we're going to have in Atlanta 2020. We still need everybody to get involved. As you know, for those who don't know, the minute I announced that we're having the crowdfunding for the Foundational Black American Conference, boy, people have been flipping out. The sleeper cells have been acting up. The white supremacists have sent their minions. It's been a full attack mode on our crowdfunding efforts, and there's been an attack on just the whole event itself. Just the fact that we're talking about getting together on our own terms and talking about specific black agendas, this has a lot of people trembling in their boots. We were on Kickstarter in 2 days, I think like 3 days. It might have been 3 days over the weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Yeah, so in 3 days over the weekend, we got $30,000. The momentum was popping on Kickstarter. A lot of the agent provocateurs and saboteurs were sent to complain and false flag the campaign. And Kickstarter is already on some BS. So Kickstarter actually suspended the crowdfunding on their platform. They didn't even give a real legit reason, because there is no legit reason. They couldn't give a real reason why they did it. They gave some kind of vague possibility excuse, but basically it was just the "I'm white and I say so" garbage. So we put everything back on Indiegogo. Indiegogo, they're way better than Kickstarter, by the way. And I don't think I'm ever going to work with Kickstarter again. But we put everything on Indiegogo, and we're back up at $20,000 in the past couple of days. So the momentum is still there. This shows that the family is still down. We're at around almost $20,000 right now. So we need everybody to go to Indiegogo and get involved, ladies and gentlemen. If you're watching me live right here on YouTube, the link is right below me, below the screen. Or you can go to Indiegogo and type in Foundation of Black American Conference. Or you can go to our official website, fbac2020.com. But I appreciate and I respect the focus that we're having. I respect the focus. We're focused. We're on code. And that's scary. When foundational Black Americans get on code, we're the only people whose codification scares people. And I'm not just talking about the white supremacists. The white supremacists get scared. All of the minions of white supremacy, they get scared. Whenever we start talking about doing something on our own without the help of other groups, people start trembling in their boots, because now they know they can't exploit us. See, the name of the game is to keep us focused on BS, keep us focused on kumbaya nonsense, keep us focused on diversity, which is a nothing burger, keep us focused on minority privileges, which is a nothing burger. As long as we are doing all this diversity, minorities, downtrodden people, poor people, with all of these vague, ambiguous terms that don't mean anything, they're perfectly fine with us talking about that. But when we say, hey, look, we're going to look out for our group specifically, all the whining and gaslighting, oh man, you guys are anti-white, y'all anti-immigrant, everybody's singing the damn blues. What about us? See, everybody knows that they've been exploiting us as a group. They ride our backs for everything. We are the mules that carry everyone. And we're finally saying enough is enough. We're not carrying no more people. We're not sacrificing our lives and well-being so that other people can ride on our backs and then spit on us when they're done riding on us. So we're taking charge. We're taking control. We're taking the initiative. We're taking power. We're not asking for a goddamn thing. Power has to be taken, and this is how you take it, and we're doing it unapologetically. It is what it is. So the white supremacists and their minions, they think, well, if we just attack Tariq, well, this is going to slow the momentum down. No, because it's bigger than Tariq. The code is the leadership, not me. That's why I never, ever try to be a leader or try to claim to be a leader. I'm just an organizer. The code is the leadership, and we are letting the code lead us. And this has got a lot of people panicking. But it is what it is. And I'm going to go deeper into this later on in the broadcast today, because I want to talk about the Florida Evans mentality. And a lot of people are like, what does that mean? We like Florida Evans. I'll get on that in a minute. But see, family, we're going to have to get into the habit of being around other like-minded Black people who are all about the same level of empowerment that we're on. We don't have time to pull Negroes kicking and screaming to get their minds right. We don't have time, family. We don't have time to get all the Popeye's chicken sandwich fighting niggas on code. We don't have time. Nor do I want to take the time. Fuck them. I only want to be around black folks who's on the same page of empowerment. That's all we need, family. We don't need to grab every single person and drag them along. We don't need that. I really wish we stopped this mentality where we got to just get everybody on the damn boat. No, we don't. You get too many of the wrong people on the boat, they'll make the boat sink. We only want people around who's going to be progressive. That's including your family, too. That includes your family, too. A lot of you have family members that's on the coon train, who's not going to do anything constructive. All they're going to do is sabotage your efforts. You understand? You don't have to bring them along or drag them along. In fact, some of the biggest coons in your family, some of you have grown up with coons and mammies and bedwinches and saboteurs. You know what I'm talking about. See, it starts with family first. Sometimes you can love your family, you can honor your family, you can respect your family, but your family doesn't have to be a part of your vision. They don't have to be a part of it. We got this thing, well, that's family. I got to let them know what I'm doing. I got to be. No, you don't. Some of your family members will be the first ones to talk you out of your destiny because a lot of them have thrown in the towel, especially your parents. So they'll try to raise you to be just as broken as coonish and coonish as them. So you don't want to have that mentality. We don't want to get down like that. You want to be around people that's going to influence you. And we're influenced by seeing people who are progressive. I love being around progressive people. Yesterday, I was with my brother, Nick Cannon. Great brother, man. And we did some filming. We did a lot of stuff. We filmed for this documentary that Nick is coming out with about Dr. Sebi. I'm going to be in that, and we did his masterclass too, and oh my God, dude, that's going to be a classic when it comes out. I'm telling you now, the masterclass with Nick, the episode we did is going to be a damn classic. I'm just letting you know now. We had a great conversation, and I love being around brothers like Nick. Nick has his shit together. I was at my man's office. My man's office is popping. That's what I like to be around because then I'm inspired by that. My man's he owns this building out here in LA, got different levels in it, his production building. They got a recording studio. My brother has it laid out so smooth. I'm inspired by that. I have my office over here where I am, but my man got his shit really, 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 really popping. That inspires me to step my shit up. Nothing but love and respect. Very intelligent brother. I'm so proud of that brother, Nick, to be a young brother getting it in the way he's getting it in. I'm so, so proud of that brother, man. And we need more young brothers like that. So we need to be able to cultivate that type of energy with our young people. This is why we need to have the Foundational Black American Conference so that young people can come down and see what it's like to be around other successful black people, other hardworking black people, other professional black people, other entrepreneurs. We have to be around that and bring our young people around that. That's very important. Because let me tell you something. Just the smallest influence can make a difference, and the smallest detriment can make a difference too. Because see, we have a lot of kids out here who are around in our community. Unfortunately, they are around Negroes who are goddamn terrorists. Have y'all seen this video circulating around where this hood rat is beating her son at school? I really don't like this video at all. Her little boy, he's in the first grade, and the teacher called
the mother to the school. I don't know if the kid was acting up. And so she's beating on him with a belt and like all in his face, like, yeah, little nigga. Yeah, little nigga. You better stop acting the motherfucking fool, little nigga. She's cursing him out and calling him little nigga. I mean, we have terroristic hood rats out here. They're terrorizing our kids. And I'm not just going to put it on the hood rats. Dusty niggas, too. We got dusty niggas and hood rats out here terrorizing these babies. I can't even play the audio of this video. I'm not going to even share it on my social media. But that type of filth, we got to cultivate better environments for our people. Yeah, the teacher looked like she was scared of that damn demonic hood rat. But that type of stuff is sad. And that trash and that trash mentality has to be countered by us who are progressive thinkers and progressive doers. And again, the dominant society, they try to pick and choose who's going to be the influencers in our community. They try to elevate certain people to be the spokespersons for our community. And when they do that, usually it's a problem. Because they try to do it with a lot of rappers, and understand, it's interesting that people try to throw rappers in our faces. When we start talking about negative influences, when we start talking about people in the dominant society using the N-word, there's always some Butterbiscuit Sambo talking about, well, there's rappers who be using the N-word all the time. When we talk about abuse, people like to use rap. Well, there's rappers who be abusing people all the time. And understand this. A lot of these rappers that's out now, and I've said this before, I don't play that the rappers are responsible, because if we're going to put that on the rappers, let's be very clear. Most rappers out today that's on the charts, they're not foundational Black Americans. Because if we're going to go there with the rappers, I'm going to go there with their backgrounds. Most of them niggas ain't even from here. Most of them come from immigrant backgrounds. Almost everybody on the damn hip-hop charts today, about at least 70-80% of them, come from other backgrounds. They don't come from our backgrounds. And let me tell you something. I differentiate between them because they do the same shit with us. Did y'all see that little slick comment Nicki Minaj made? Because, see, y'all not going to play this thing. Foundation of Black Americans don't like us. No, no, no. Too many of these immigrant rappers, they say a lot of little slick shit. Nicki said some slick shit on social media, then deleted it. She was talking about how the white media treats her right, but the blacks, and these are her words, she used the term, the blacks, they don't treat me like the whites do, something to that effect. But she used the term, the blacks, and she used it in the third person as if she's not one of the blacks. You understand? Let's be very clear. A lot of these folks, they don't think that they're one of us. They don't think they're us. See, they'll play like they're us or act like they're down when it's convenient. But you let them keep talking and they'll start talking about us in the third damn person. You better be clear. There's a reason for that. It wasn't like us blacks or we blacks. It was like the blacks, like them niggas over there and not me because I'm Trinidadian. Watch that stuff. Y'all better watch that stuff. Remember when Kevin Gates was talking about he ain't with all that Black Lives Matter, he ain't with black folks getting shot, black folks gotta act a certain way. He was talking a little coonish for a minute. And remember, his background, he comes from an immigrant background. Watch these people. Watch these people. You understand? These are the folks that they prop up and let them represent us. French Montana going around talking about, well, America was built by immigrants. He's getting on these award shows spewing that damn lie. That's a bald-faced lie. See, we got to watch these people who are propped up to be the mouthpieces for black society. See, we got to stop this thing where we're letting them prop up rappers as our representatives, because they end up misrepresenting. This is what I had a problem with the Revolt Summit about. They prop up all these people to misrepresent us. See, this is why we have to counter that. It's very important to counter that. You understand? We're not going to let people disrespect us and disrespect our history. Now that we're talking about doing this thing on our own, since you guys are going to get out here and get all of this corporate white money, millions of dollars, to put these little conferences and seminars and award shows together to misrepresent foundational black Americans, well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to have our own convention. We don't need your money. We're going to aggregate our own resources and do it on our own. All of a sudden, everybody wants to cry foul. Well, damn it, stay crying. Stay crying. Now, somebody in the chat room made a good point. French Montana disrespected black women. I remember that. He said something about a nappy head or something. I don't want to paraphrase and get it wrong, but I do remember it was something about nappy head or something like that, wasn't it? That French Montana said something. You got to watch people. Sometimes some of their insults start sounding a little white supremacist, kind of have a white supremacist little vibe to them. Yeah, French Montana's an Arab. You dig? Yeah, that dude's an Arab. Watch these people. Watch them. Watch Cardi B. Y'all know she said some black folks look like roaches. She was talking about somebody. Some of that shit starts sounding, has a white supremacist twang to it. You dig? We better watch that stuff. And stay on code with it. Because if we don't get on code, people will exploit that. And right now, times are critical. And when we get on code, people are like, wait a minute. If they get on code, we can't do some of the things that we've been doing to them. Because if they're going to get on code about this, they're going to start getting on code about protecting themselves too. See, we don't really want them to get on code with that. See, because when you get on code with one thing, that means you'll stay on code for other things. That means protecting yourself. See, this reminds me of a story I saw in the news today. There was one of these white supremacist militia groups. This one is in Alaska. One of the leaders of this white supremacist militia group, he got arrested because he had something called the 2-for-1 plan. It was called the 2-for-1 plan. It's 24-1. It was 2-for-1. See, they were talking in codes. They had this document that they were circulating around with each other. They had the numbers 2-4-1. And for a minute, law enforcement didn't know what that meant. And they were going around with this 2-4-1 code. What the hell is 2-4-1? And that meant if law enforcement targeted one of them, if they got arrested or if one of them in their group got killed, that means they were supposed to go get revenge and kill two law enforcement officials. That's where the 2-for-1. So if you kill one of us, we killing two of you. That's codification. This is why they don't mess with those white supremacists like that, because those white supremacists will go and get retribution. If you hit one of them, they ain't gonna march and sing. They gonna get 2-for-1. They gonna go get you. That's why they don't mess with them. They stay on code and they're really willing to die for their code. This is how other people are serious about having a code. And when we get on code about certain things, other people want to cry foul about everything. And a lot of people want to cry foul because they can't deceive us like they used to. See, they like deceiving black people. That's become a trade for different groups. Just coming up with ways to lie to us, to manipulate us, to deceive us. And they're very mad because they haven't been able to deceive us about this Harriet movie. They are still whining and hemming and hawing because black people didn't go for the Harriet movie con. They've shamed us. They've been trying to shame us all damn week. Have y'all ever seen a group of people being shamed because they don't want to see a goddamn movie? It's a movie. It ain't mandatory. The fact that we let this movie flop, we made it flop. We made this movie flop. Now they're running around. They got all of their blabbity blacks and all of these Negroes who work for all these white major corporations running around trying to shame everybody. Oh, y'all not keeping it real. This is a black movie. Y'all worse than the white man. Y'all don't want to support no black movie. No, y'all not going to play that game. We don't owe Cynthia Erivo nothing. We don't owe her nothing. We don't owe the disrespectful ass screenwriter nothing. We don't owe that disrespectful historian, quote unquote, who was the advisor on the film, her lying ass. We don't owe her nothing. Everything about this film was lies, deceit, and disrespect from top to damn bottom. We owe you nothing for this film. It flopped. Oh goon. Black family, don't let them shame you because you didn't support this filth. And I'm not going to go too much deep into the movie because I've already broken it down. But the movie was just not that popping, wasn't that good. The lead actress was very disrespectful in her real life to foundational black Americans and the lineage of Harriet, who you're supposed to be playing. The movie just wasn't that good with all the disrespectful characters that didn't exist that they crowbarred in the movie. It was a movie that they tried to rewrite our history about, and they tried to make it into some kind of feminist type of thing and crowbar in toxic black masculinity. It was a garbage ass propaganda piece that didn't work. This movie was a propaganda piece. And the fact that they're going around so desperately trying to pretend that this movie is a success. This movie flopped. It didn't even cover the budget in opening weekend. And they're going around pretending that this movie is a success. And now when I look at this thing, I'm like, what are they really trying to do with this? Why are they going around? I've never seen another movie where they made $12 million and they're going around bragging about it being a success. $12 million, even if it's profit, that ain't nothing. This ain't even profit. Y'all didn't even make a profit. This movie lost money. It didn't make a profit. But they're going around trying to lie to you saying it's a success. Now, why are they doing this? And another thing is, and I'm like, well, something else is going on here. And let me play, I put up a clip of a scene in the movie, and they're trying to tell you how great Cynthia Erivo was in the movie. Oh, she was so great. She was so great. Yeah, the storyline is bad. Yeah, the pacing is bad. But at least Cynthia Erivo was pretty good in the movie. And truth be told, she wasn't. Let's be real. I posted a clip of her acting in the movie. This is supposed to be a dramatic scene, and her acting was real flat. Let me let y'all listen to this. I know the quality is kind of low. I put this on my Twitter, but she's trying to, you can hear she's faking the Southern accent, but then you can low-key hear her Nigerian accent under it a little bit, and this crying. It's like a high school play. When you actually look at it, and especially a lot of people who actually went to see it, they were like, man, this is some garbage. This shit is actually worse than I thought it was going to be. But listen, this is a little clip of her being dramatic in the movie. Hold on.
I listen for your voice. You told me to come. I
can't. She sounds like a damn Nigerian. A Nigerian pretending to be Southern. I listen to your voice. Lord Jesus. All these niggas. Oh, Lord Jesus. She rocking and crying. I'm like, Harriet. Well, I know Harriet wasn't doing all that rocking and crying and bucking her damn eyes. Lord Jesus. I listen to your voice. Oh, Lord, help me, Jesus. I need some jollof rice. Lord Jesus. Get the hell out of here. Hold on.
Why, Lord? I listened for your voice. You told me to come. I came. You led me here. Why bring me all this way and rub mud in my face?
How the fuck she sound Nigerian? Lord Jesus, I gotta get a job. I run away from the Underground Railroad. Jesus, get the hell out of here. God, it's cringeworthy. My God, it's so cringy, dude. This is not good. It's not good. It's not. I'm not even hating. This just, it's not good, dude. It just complete. I grew up in the South. I lived in the South. I've never heard a Southern person talk like that. I lived in Alabama around some of the countryest people ever. I've never heard a motherfucker talk like that. Yeah, so like, Lord, I need $1 million in my bank account, Lord Jesus. If you give me $2 million, I'll flip it and give you $4, Lord Jesus. God damn, this was horrible. This was horrible. And when you look at this, I'm like, what are they talking about? Why are they trying to convince us that this woman was actually good in this movie? Why are they so desperate trying to tell us that this woman was good in this movie when you can see it's like, no, it ain't really that good. And then I saw something the other day where she was singing the national anthem somewhere and then she forgot the words. I'm like, okay, why are they really promoting? This chick is trash. Why are they promoting her so heavy? Hold on, listen to this. This is when she was doing the national anthem the other day. Hold on. And she could sing. She could sing. I give her that. She can sing. She's a good singer. And then she starts forgetting the words here. So a white man comes to tell her the word. Oh, it's a little shit like that. I'm like, oh my God. Oh God. I mean, this woman does some of the cringiest shit. I'm like, whoa. And this is, and they keep promoting this woman. She does the most cringeworthy shit. And they keep promoting her like she's just this big grand talent. So like, what's this about? What the hell is this really about? And you know what it is? What they're trying to do with her? See, they're trying to manufacture a star out of her. They're trying to manufacture star power out of her. Because the thing is, they know that she can be a useful tool later. And see, what they got to do, family, you got to understand, in order to make a person like this a useful tool for later, they have to credentialize them. They have to give them a lot of credentials so that when they are used as a pawn, they can have the credentials to say, okay, this is why this person should be listened to. So they already know she's going to be a useful tool for them because of the anti-Black American rhetoric she was spewing. See, Cynthia Erivo knew exactly what she was doing, talking all that greasy stuff about foundational black Americans. That was a lot of these immigrant groups. That's their way of auditioning, saying little slick stuff about black Americans. They're dog whistling to white folks. And white folks say, oh, you one of them. OK, come on over here. We're going to get you. We're going to go ahead and groom you up. They're grooming her. Watch these people that they credentialize, these people who ain't really that talented, and they all of a sudden get all of these praises and accolades. Billy Porter, the gay brother who runs around the red carpet with these clown outfits on. They parade him around as racial showcasing. He wears all these clownish, buffoonish outfits, and they parade him around in dresses and all this. They just gave him, didn't they give him an Emmy Award recently? So they credentialized him. So when they parade him around, and he's already let them know, I'm your guy. He's already done said some slick stuff about black people. I played that a few weeks ago. He was like, yeah, people were mad at me, especially my own black community. Hell, my black community be hating. So now they're like, oh, that's going to be one of our useful tools. Let's credentialize him. So that's what they're doing with Cynthia Erivo. They're credentializing her. And they really thought that this movie was going to be, they were going to slip past the BS and make this movie a hit. It flopped. And they keep pretending that it's a success because what they're going to do, I believe almost 100% they're going to try to give her an Oscar. She's definitely going to get nominated. But I think they're actually going to give her an Oscar award for that garbage performance. Why? Because she will be one of the youngest people to win the EGOT, meaning an Emmy, a Grammy, an Oscar, and a Tony. She has all three. Cynthia Erivo has an Emmy, she has a Grammy, and she has a Tony Award. So they've been grooming her already. All she needs is that Oscar award. So there's only 15 people, I think, that has all four awards. You understand? So they're credentializing her. So this is why they're so hell-bent on trying to give this woman an Oscar. Yes. Nobody knows who she is. See, they're cultivating their own stars. So when they credentialize her and give her those prestigious awards, so now they can use her for anything and use these prestigious awards as her resume to show this person is qualified to speak for black people. And we know how she feels about black Americans. Yet John Legend, he has one. Yes. But they know how this person really feels about black Americans. So if they give her all these credentials, you can imagine what they're going to have her saying in the future. I'm letting you know now. They're going to have her ushering in and saying all types of crazy shit about black people and using her to funnel in all types of agendas in the future. Because, see, the thing is, they got to be different from the Republicans. And see, the Democrats, this is a, like a liberal thing, credentializing their Negroes to funnel in LGBT stuff, to funnel in immigrant stuff. See, they got to credentialize them. See, the Republicans don't credentialize their Negroes. So they'll just get a random Negro and say, hey, listen to this Negro. He's black, so listen to him. And he listen to him because we say listen to him. They do that with Candace Owens. Candace Owens has zero credentials. They just prop her up, and it looks funny. It's clearly this is a tokenized Negro who you just propped up to spew your venom for you. So when they credentialize these Negroes, they can say, oh, no. We have them as the spokesperson. They're the spokesperson not because we're just propping them up and letting them do the bidding for us. I mean, they have a Grammy. They got a Tony. They got as a matter of fact, they're the one of the few people to have all four. So now they have their credentials. See, it's Diamond and Silk, they're not credentialized. Those are just two mammies. There's no resume, just two mammies that they got and propped up. They don't even try to credentialize the Negroes on the right. So understand the chess move that they're trying to do. And again, they audition these Negroes by looking at how they feel about foundational black Americans, just like Cynthia Erivo's bestie, Lovey. And I played a clip of Lovey saying when she was in high school, she wrote an essay. They asked them about reparations, and what they were doing, they were fishing for Negroes to be tools. And they were looking for a black person to be against it. And she was. And she won the award. That's exactly what they were looking for. Lovey wrote an essay about how black Americans shouldn't get reparations. And they gave her a damn award. The coon-ass NAACP gave her an award. See, they fish for people to see who's going to be against foundational black Americans. But watch people, and when they prop them up, look at their backgrounds. A lot of people have very interesting backgrounds, and they'll prop them up based on their backgrounds and based on who they're related to, especially if they have an immigrant background. Like Gabby Sidibe. Y'all know for a long time, they were really propping her up. They were shoving Gabby Sidibe down our throats. There's a couple of reasons they were doing that. Because, number one, the movie Precious was a horrible movie. It was a horrible movie showing every negative stereotype you can imagine. And in that movie, you know, they had Monique and Gabby Sidibe. Now, what's interesting, Monique is a foundational black American. They pretty much squandered her career, but they propped up Gabby Sidibe, who's comes from an immigrant background. And remember, with Gabby Sidibe, that's the mammy character that they can promote and funnel around. And also they were putting her on fashion magazines, which was a backhanded compliment. It was really a diss to black women by putting Gabby Sidibe on fashion magazines. They were clowning sisters. They were like, if you want black women on magazines, okay, we'll give you diversity. We're going to put Gabby Sidibe on these magazines. No, Gabby, what do y'all think the name Sidibe is? That's not a damn American name. That's an African name. I think her dad is an African immigrant or comes from an African immigrant background. You know, Precious was a disgusting movie. And let me go deep about Gabby Sidibe. Another thing about her, because she's half ADOS and half immigrant. Her auntie is a lady named Dorothy Pittman Hughes. And if you remember, there's an old picture of Gloria Steinem, an infamous white feminist who was connected with the CIA. Y'all look that up. Gloria Steinem, who was one of the white feminist leaders in the 1960s. There's an infamous picture with Gloria Steinem holding up a black power fist with a black woman with her, with an afro. That woman is Dorothy Pittman Hughes. And Dorothy Pittman Hughes was basically used to help white women get the black power movement and dissipate that energy and bring it over to the white feminist movement. So Dorothy Pittman was their token negress back in the 60s and early 70s. And she helped Gloria Steinem found, quote unquote, Ms. Magazine. But Dorothy Pittman Hughes, that's Gabby Sidibe's aunt. Look that up. So look at the back. You got to look at the backgrounds of these people. When I see people, some random Negro just being paraded around like they're the best thing since sliced bread, I'm like, let me look at their background and see what's going on. Let me see whose background this person comes from. And I'm like, oh, okay. So she's connected with that type of thing. Okay. So now they know this person already has a family member that we've used as a tool. So now we can use their offspring in the same way. You understand? It's real heavy stuff. But understand, this is why there's an importance of us getting on code. We got to be on code and we got to stay on code. And by the way, everybody hit that thumbs up button. Hit the thumbs up button and hit that like button, hit the subscribe button for all the new people that's in here. All the new people that's in here, hit that thumbs up and hit that subscribe button, ladies and gentlemen. And also, if you haven't, hit that hit that Indiegogo link for the Foundational Black American Conference. You hit that link below. Now, I talked about this earlier. When we announced that we're doing the Foundational Black American Conference, there was a lot of Negroes who were sleeper cells making noise about it, upset about it. Now, this thing has nothing to do with them, but a bunch of Negroes started clout chasing, whining and complaining. Negroes who don't even support, Negroes who are trying to get clout, Negroes who don't want to see us do anything progressive anyway. Whining about it. Whining about the fact that we're organizing money to put together this event. You have a lot of dusty Negroes out here, men and women, who have what I call the Florida Evans mentality. Now understand, a lot of these niggas are agent provocateurs and saboteurs. Let's be very clear. A lot of them are agent provocateurs and saboteurs. Let's be very clear. And a lot of these Negroes just have these Florida Evans mentality. Because when you start talking about money to certain Negroes, the idea of black people organizing money in a large way, it makes them uncomfortable. Because a lot of times their minds can't wrap around it. Their plantation mentality pops up. Everything becomes cutthroat. They think that everything has to be nefarious. They think that if black people organize money, it must be a bad thing. See, that's something that the white supremacists have programmed in certain Negroes' minds. This is why we got to be progressive enough to get that garbage out of our brains. There's a mentality that certain folks have that if you are a conscious person, that you're supposed to take a vow of poverty. I want black folks to get that garbage mentality out of your brain. Because a lot of times cats want to get conscious and woke just to be comfortable in a prison. And societies can be prisons. You understand? Because there's two types of people who get woke. They get woke so they can break out the prison, and they get woke so they can have something to talk about in the prison. Let me say that again. There's a lot of people who get woke and read and become conscious so they can break out the prison, and that's me. And then you have people who get woke so that they can have something to talk about with each other while they're doing their time in the prison. They just want to do something to pass time. And the minute you start saying, wait a minute, all of this knowledge that we're getting, let's use this to generate capital so that we can control our circumstances. Negroes who like captivity, they get up in arms because a lot of Negroes are comfortable just sitting around debating nonstop. A lot of Negroes are comfortable sitting around nickel and diming, broke and debating incessantly. That's a comfort zone for them. They're so comfortable with captivity. It's like, well, they flipped it in their minds to say, well, you know what? I got it made. I actually have it made. Everybody else does all the hard work. Yeah, I know I'm in a so-called prison cell, but at least I'm comfortable. I get to eat 3 meals a day. I get to smoke. I get me a little sex every now and then. I mean, I got it made. You understand? We're going to get out of that mentality. And when you have those of us like myself who tries to organize, I don't even try, I do. When we organize our resources in order to use them for empowerment, some of these dusty Florida Evans thinking Negroes start thinking and projecting their own nefarious mindset onto us. Man, Tariq Nasheed, why are you using this to make money? You using knowledge to make money. Yeah, you're supposed to use knowledge to make money. I'm not going to sit around debating with niggas and letting people be broke and not getting anything done. I'm not about to sit around debate niggas in a damn dusty room or basement. I'm a grown ass man. We're gonna get this thing out of our system where black is synonymous with broke. We're getting that out of our system. We're not playing that game. This is why when I do my movies, I do my movies that's comparative to those in Hollywood. We're going to have the same quality, the same standards. When we do this conference, it's going to be the same standard. We can have things and hold them to high standards. And we can handle our business and hold them to high standards. And watch Negroes who always talking about, well, you using it to make the money. That's that Florida Evans mentality. Let me tell you something about me. If it was just about money, I'd just stay selling my books to white people. White people would buy my books. My books, The Art of Mackin, which still sell today. The money is where the white people are. The money is not talking about none of this shit. That's where the money is. The money, the real, real big money, the easy money, I say the easy money, is not talking about none of the shit I'm talking about now. That's easy money. I could have just kept taking that easy money. I'm already clicked in. Well, I was already clicked in. When I was doing my books, just talking about relationships, do y'all know the kind of money Simon & Schuster and Penguin, all these major book companies were giving me for these damn books? These people are writing me $100,000 checks. Dude, that's where the easy money is. I just keep doing that. If that were the case, I could have been sold the fuck out if that was the case, if it was just about money. Y'all go look at old video. I've been going to Saint-Tropez and Hawaii and the south of France and Rome since the early 2000s, if we want to talk money. Let's be very clear. I've been doing all that shit. Wasn't no money in being woke until I created the industry for it. Let's be very clear. And I don't like patting myself on the back. I don't like patting myself on the back, but sometimes people get to talking crazy. So then I got to remind them a little bit. Let's be clear. There wasn't no financially viable woke community until I made it one. Let me say that again for those in the back. There wasn't no financially viable woke community until I made it one. Remember, y'all trying to act like there were other movies like Hidden Colors out there. There weren't. I opened up a brand new industry. There were no movies like Hidden Colors selling anything. If there was, point them out. There was nothing like that that was successful until Hidden Colors. Let's be very clear. Let's be very, very clear. There was no movie breaking down our history and then going in on white supremacy like we were doing before Hidden Colors. I created that industry, and I really hate patting myself on the back, but I gotta remind niggas sometimes. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes people forget because I don't say nothing, because my work is not done. We still have to put in a lot of work. Somebody said, Dr. Ben, real talk. John Henry Clark and Dr. Ben, some of our scholar elders, some of those brothers and sisters who were putting in a lot of work. Remember, many of them died broke. A lot of the Dr. Bens and all these people, a lot of them, they didn't have money when they died. Do y'all understand me? And guess what? When Dr. Ben was in the nursing home and Dr. Ben put in all this work for decades, who was the person who sent money to him for his medical bills? Who was the person who did that? Yes, I'm going to pat myself on the back one more goddamn time, because I don't, nobody out here is at liberty to ever say anything about what the fuck I've done. All these people that I've helped, help them in nursing homes. I paid for some of these scholar elders' funerals that all of these kundalini drinking niggas have never done. You understand me? If we gonna go there now, I don't, nobody is at liberty to ever say anything about what I've done to help people. Some of these activists, when they go to jail, who's bailing them out? All of these independent schools around the country, do I need to pull my receipts up to show you the thousands of dollars that I've sent to them when Tamir Rice was killed? Do I need to pull the receipts up of the money I sent to the family? Do I need to pull the receipts up of the money I sent to Mike Brown's family? Do I need to pull receipts, or should I just be humble and chill? What do y'all want to do about this? Yeah, I'm not explaining. I'm going to stun a little bit because people get a little loose with the lips talking about what should be done and all this money you be doing and you be making and all this money. Why y'all got to be getting all this money? Because people need money. We have to generate money. I'm not going to sit around and watch all of these scholar elders sit up here after all the work they've done and they got to be in a damn nursing home and niggas sitting up debating in a fucking room. Number one, we got to take care of our elders. Number one, if we can't take care of our elders, we ain't shit. If we can't take care of our elders and our children, we ain't shit. See, I'm tired of people talking a good game and you ain't doing nothing. When we have some of our young warriors out here in the street trying to put in work and they go to jail and niggas sitting up having a debate, but you ain't getting them out of there. We got to talk grown folks talk, and grown folks talk is about money. So I'm always going to organize money so that we can do things the right way like grown-ass people. This Florida Evans mentality where you try to act like there's some type of moral high ground to be broke, that's garbage, and that's something we're going to get out of our communities. Remember, if we're talking about getting this conference going, everybody hit the link below. If somebody talks down on us doing a conference where we're getting people from all over the country to get together to network with each other, if anybody finds something wrong with that, you're talking to a dirtbag, rat suit eating coon. Because these people like to sit up in basements in these little filthy environments and talk in circles. See, that poverty mindset. Again, that goes back to Florida Evans. When you look at Good Times, now some of y'all might not be old enough to remember Good Times, but look at some of the reruns of Good Times. Good Times was a very interesting show. Now, we loved it when we were kids, but one thing I noticed about Good Times, and some things always rubbed me the wrong way, even as a child, it rubbed me the wrong way how Florida Evans acted like she was scared of money all the time. Some of the ways Florida Evans got down, and let's be clear, Florida Evans, the character, and Esther Roll, the woman who played the character, they were two different people. Esther Roll was a writer, actually. The sister, Esther Roll, was actually a very woke sister. Actually, Esther Roll, she didn't like a lot of stuff that went down on the show, by the way. She had a lot of complaints about some of the buffoonish stuff that was on the show. Let's be very clear. So Esther Roll and Florida Evans, two different things. The white writers basically created the Florida Evans character. But Florida Evans would always act scared of money. She was praising white Jesus, and every time money came in the house, she was scared. And the messages that were in Good Times, it was very negative when you look at it. Anytime black people got a hold of money, it was always some type of nefarious thing. Every time they got access to money, everything was very nefarious. And the Florida character, basically, she was a mammy character who was afraid of money, who was raising a coon son, JJ, because the JJ character was a coon. The real Esther Roll, she knew that. She had a lot of problems with JJ cooning on the show. As a matter of fact, Jimmy Walker has said they didn't like him because he was doing all that cooning. The real actors did not like that coon character. They knew good and well he was cooning. They knew he was a big old coon. Skinning and grinning all the time. But the character Florida, she's raising a coon, and the son who's woke, Michael, the one who talks like he has some sense, he was treated as an outcast almost. They always dismiss Michael's narratives. You notice that? And the Michael character, that character stayed in the show because of the black creator of Good Times, Eric Monte. Eric Monte is a brother from Chicago who was one of the writers, and that brother had to butt heads with the producers of the show so it wouldn't be so coonish. So what he would do, he would make the militant one the son, the little boy, so it would be less threatening to white viewers. But the only person on the show, Good Times, who really had some sense was Michael. So he was like, oh, shut up, the militant midget. Oh, he's the militant. Oh, shut up, Michael, you're just being militant. But he was saying some deep shit, and look at the message. If you talk like you got some sense, if you talk about black empowerment, you should be dismissed. You should be dismissed. But when you look at that show, it's like, I always wondered, how in the hell are they not getting up out the hood? Michael can paint, let him paint. If some of the hustlers want to give him some money, get the money and flip it. I'm saying this as a child. I'm like, man, y'all could have been got out them damn projects. As fine as Thelma's ass is, how the fuck you got a daughter this fine and y'all up in the projects? I'm a kid thinking this. I'm like, well, shit. If I was grown and had a little paper, you know, I'd trick off a couple of dollars and get her out of that damn project. Shit. As fine as this motherfucker is and she's in the projects, I'm a child and I know this ain't right. Hell, if I was grown, I'd get her an apartment. Shit. As fine as this motherfucker is. In the projects? But if you look at the show, I remember all these different episodes. Every time somebody came in the house with some money, Florida would trip out. Where did JJ get all his money? She's all crying. Where, James, where did Michael get all this cash? Lord, where are you getting this dirty money? Everything was dirty. The money was always dirty. Oh, she got on my nerves with that. As a kid, where is JJ getting all this cash? Say, Florida, damn. Every single time. You know, I remember JJ was hanging with some hustlers and he started bringing in TVs and he started bringing in new furniture and stuff. I don't want this dirty furniture or that dirty money. Like, God damn, Florida. And then Michael, JJ tried to get the money to Michael and Thelma. And, here, Mom, we're going to pay the rent. Where did you get this cash? I got it from JJ. Get this dirty money out of the house. Like, God damn, Florida. God, that got on my damn nerves. So money was bad. All the money was bad. That's bad money, James. Take the money back. Get this dirty money out the house. Like, damn. And Sweet Daddy Williams, remember him? Sweet Daddy Williams, the player from the neighborhood, had JJ do a painting, and then he got JJ all them clothes, and they made JJ take the clothes off. Everything, all black money, if you got money from a black person, the shit was bad. If you got money from a black person, everything was a bad thing. And these are the white writers writing this. The white writers are writing this garbage. And a lot of us have that mentality. Historically, we feel if we organize money without white people's involvement, something bad is going to happen. Well, this is why we have to be codified to protect each other. But historically, there have been bad things that's happened. During Reconstruction, the freedmen's banks, we organized our money and the white supremacists just kind of took the money and just left us holding the bag. In Wilmington, places like that, when black people organized their money, the white supremacists came in and basically took over the town. In Tulsa, Oklahoma, when black people organized their money, the white people came through and started bombing. So a lot of times when we have organized our money without white intervention, they've targeted us. But this is why we should have been on code in a larger manner. If enough of us are on code, they can't target us like that. See, we shouldn't get on code by just being in one packed up place. See, a lot of those places, everybody got on code, but they were in one little space. See, the code is in your mind. So no matter where you are, you'll still be on code. So they're just not going to target one geographic location. Because if you're on code, you're going to take the code with you everywhere you go. And that's going to be your protection. The code is not your geographic location. The code is your mindset. So that's part of the game that we have to understand. We have to understand that no matter where we are, we're on code. We're not afraid to organize our money. We can organize our money anywhere we are, and we can use our money and our resources to move political things, to move societal things, to create different social changes. And see, this is what they feared. And again, with this Harriet movie, some of the writers are saying, we don't need people in the black community who made this movie flop. We don't need them to take that mentality into the 2020 election. This is why this confused a lot of people. Why are they correlating this movie with the election? Because they try to get us to be swayed by their code. See, they want us to be on their code, meaning we're going to follow whoever they throw out there to us. And when we reject that and say, no, we're not going to follow anybody but the code of empowerment, they were like, oh, no, we got to get these niggas off that and stop listening to influencers. You understand? So we got to stay the course and do exactly what we're doing and keep on pushing forward. And that's part of the game that we have to learn. How do we organize our resources when we have haters all around? I almost want to do a whole seminar on that at the conference next year. Because that's something that black folks are going to have to exercise. We're going to have to learn how to stay focused on building our resources when we have not just the white supremacists trying to hate, but we have the Florida Evans in the neighborhood trying to hate and trying to undermine everything we do. See, we got problems with these Florida Evans and some of these coons and all of these bedwinches and mammies and dusty niggas trying to undermine everything we're doing. You dig? But anyway, I digress, ladies and gentlemen. That's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. Glad everybody tuned in. A lot of folks in here. Everybody, if you have not done it already, go get involved. Let me look at the link now. Everybody get involved with the Foundational Black American Conference. Let me see where we are as far as the funding on it right now. Now, my computer's acting a little janky right now, but it is what it is. Some of us might be freezing right now. Hold on. Uh-oh, we're freezing a little bit, but it's okay. There's some computer issues. Notice when I start talking real deep, all of a sudden the computer starts, or the everything starts acting funny style a little bit. Okay, can y'all hear me now in the chat room? I see I'm having some computer issues, so they're messing with the stream, but that's okay, ladies and gentlemen. That is okay. Anyway, everybody go to the Indiegogo below. Hit the button. Get involved. I'm going to holla, ladies and gentlemen.